On episode 48 of the new 8 Days of Geek podcast, new malware on the net, mini SNES, and Pickle Rick! Stay tuned. Of the new 8 Days of Geek podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me, as always, the man who just really needs his Szechuan dipping sauce, no matter if it takes 9 more seasons, Sean Scott.
I'm curious as to, you know, how what this Szechuan dipping sauce actually tasted like.
I know, like, right?
I don't remember it. In fact, even though it was like right around the time that I would have worked at McDonald's, so...
I really want to try it, though, and I'm super surprised McDonald's hasn't brought it back.
Well, the last I heard were rumors that they were actually going to bring it back, like, to coincide with the new Mulan movie that was going to come out or something like that.
No, fuck Mulan. I want it for Rick and Morty, man.
That's what it came out for in the first place.
I know that, but it needs to come out for Rick and Morty now.
Rick and Morty has that much power.
That's what I'm saying. They rule my life. I don't know about you, but I live my life by the teachings of the great Pickle Rick. What can you do? Let's see here. So we stressed and stressed. I mean, we lost hair and probably years of our lives trying to come up with some decent news to talk about today. I don't know how many packs of cigarettes Sean went through, in old newsroom style, where he's like lighting one off the other,
right? You know?
But we think
in
we
a really
have...
in a really dimly lit room, uh-huh, with, you know, like just one little desk lamp,
yep,
and the ashtray is just overfilling, and I'm just punching away at a typewriter for some reason.
That's the preferred habitat of a Sean Scott.
Right. I send you all my show notes, you know, hand typed,
yeah,
from a typewriter.
Exactly.
With cigarette stains, cigarette
coffee,
burns.
Coffee rings
and cigarette burns.
Awesome. So let's kick into blurbs. For blurbs, I stumbled across this Twitter account. And I went into a Twitter hole. I was reading it for probably an hour, and it's just tweets, but what it is called Saved You a Click. So it's at Saved You a Click. They read clickbait articles and then tweet a link to the article and the answer to that article. You know, so they tweeted July 7th from Mashable. Is this man a Ryan Gosling lookalike, or is he just wearing a suit? Well, Mashable wants you to click on that and read. Saved You a Click saves you that click and says, just a guy in a suit.
I mean, honestly, you should have known that when you clicked on the article. Yeah,
that's the thing. Okay, Saved You a Click from Vice. Are millennials actually having sex? Saved You a Click says, some, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
See here. Here's when you could try Nintendo's online mobile app for the Switch from Time. Saved You a Click, July 21st.
I mean,
this is amazing.
That's actually useful.
It's fantastic. It's Time. Have you been eating spaghetti wrong this whole time? Saved
No.
You a Click. Has it gone into your mouth? Then no, you haven't.
Exactly.
Let's see here. Ah, Guy Fieri finally reveals what donkey sauce is.
It's Guy Fieri.
Fieri,
come on.
Whatever. I don't know. I don't care. I don't like him.
You don't know the most, like,
if it's not Alton Brown,
things.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, but he's still just like the most ridiculous celebrity chef in the world. He's like the celebrity chef that everyone else makes fun of for being awful.
Well, anyway, it's aioli. Now that word I know I said correctly.
You did. Congratulations for speaking English.
Let's see here. there's just some of these are so good. Come on. If you want to lose weight, don't do this. Save Drew Click says, eat at restaurants.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see here. what are the odds that among 5,500 UMass Amherst graduates, there will be not one but two sets of triplets? Save Drew Click says, it doesn't say.
The article doesn't give you the odds?
No, it doesn't give you the odds.
That pissed me off, man.
Here's the age when millennials say they'd be embarrassed to still live with their parents' money. That's from Money. Let's see. And Save Your Click retweets Nick Hodge, who says 28. I love it. It's fantastic because clickbait, next to like the fake news moniker, clickbait is one of those things that makes the internet a bad place. It just is, you know, and I mean, it's different. You know, for instance, I mean, you have mentioned my my sections in our show notes and how vague they can be to force people to click on the link.
Right.
But I do that because I want credit to be given where credit is due. I want you to go to that person's article because they put the hard work into it. Clickbait to me is not that. That is more talk show teaser type thing. Clickbait to me are the ones that just have no meaning. And it's just, you know, you'll never guess what happens next. I just
I think of clickbait as, I guess, like more like the listicles, at least for me, like the stuff that I'm just more likely to actually click on and be baited into, you know, reading are like the listicles. And, you know, this is just an example, not this particular one, but, you know, like the stuff like 12 potatoes that look like Channing Tatum, you know, that's the kind of shit that I would, you know. It'd be like top 10, you know, PG-13 boob flashes, you know, something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. So don't clickbait, people. Go to Save You a Click and just read.
See, I think with most of those, they're like, that's the stuff that I avoid, because it's like when you ask the question, like if the article starts with a question, I think that's your first clue right there, you know.
It kind of is, yeah. Now you mention it, that is a big red flag. That, or if it has something to do with a celebrity, a question and a celebrity, that I think we could come up with a formula to make clickbait. Don't you?
Right. Sure.
Like, okay, a question, a celebrity, and then a speculative phrase, like you won't believe what happens next.
Sure. Yeah.
So, okay. A question. Come up with a question. I'll come up with a celebrity. So my celebrity is Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal. So just like any random question about Steven Seagal.
Sure.
So like, what is he doing?
Okay. So let's see. Let me bring up a notepad. We got Steven Seagal.
What is he up to? Something along those lines.
What is he up to? And something speculative, like you'll never believe. So if we put all these together, you could do, let's say, let's be specific. Let's say Texas. You'll never believe what Steven Seagal is up to in Texas. Clickbait. Bam. I just wrote an article.
Right.
And I'm just going to say that he's hanging out at a ranch somewhere. That's conjecture. I mean, have no idea.
Honestly,
where
it could just
Seagal
be like you could literally just be like he's not there or doing anything.
He's not even in Texas.
What's the whole point of the stupid articles?
You clicked on it. That's the point. Bam. Ad revenue. All right. So we're going to mix things up today, guys, because of the stories that we do have. I get to go first. Me first.
You always go first.
I always come first, Sean.
We just, we'll have to ask your wife. We only flipped two of your categories. So.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, so tech news. Google is being fined for doing their job. In the EU, Google has been found guilty and has been fined 2.42 billion euros. That is $2.7 billion for us Americans. And it was fined by the European Commission after it ruled the company had abused its power by promoting its own shopping comparison service at the top of search results. So, you know, like if you go in and let's see, we'll search for something on Google. What can I search for on Google? Something really weird. Hey, how about fidget spinners? Okay, so I'm searching for fidget spinner on Google. Now, see, I guess it's very subjective to the person that actually does this because I don't use Google Shopping. And we're also in America, so it could be that, you know, I've got a problem with that happening. But right now I've got fidget spinner nipple pasties are called fidget titties.
What?
That's literally the first thing on the page.
But that's because you were looking at
exactly
that before we started recording.
Exactly. I was looking at fidget titties before we started recording. And because of that, that's what shows up. But if I go to Google Shopping, I get a list of things. However, there have been many times.
Hold on. I'm typing in fidget spinners.
Yeah,
I'm
try
going
that.
To
see
Google
what you get.
Google Shopping.
Yeah, don't and do Google Shopping. Just do Google. Regular.
Oh, just
all,
do Google. So yeah. Just all.
Yeah, just do all on Google.
Okay.
See if you get shopping first.
Are we looking? What do you mean?
Well, on the very top row, like I have top stories on mine for news, because I've been searching for news stories. But some people, and depending on what you're searching for, you get a shopping, like suggestions on Google Shopping.
Okay, so I'm on Google and I'm just typing in fidget spinners and hitting enter. And when I do that, it goes straight to the Google search results page. I'm on the all tab, and directly underneath that, there are images and it says shop for fidget spinners on Google.
Okay,
and
see, just, there you go.
It's just a bunch of pictures I can scroll through that are all, you know, Etsy for imprint, eBay with logos.com, just different websites.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's kind of what we're talking about. When Google gives you shopping, I mean, they all have like prices and stuff under them, right? In little boxes?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about. When Google gives you options for shopping for things.
It's always done this, hasn't it? I mean, when I just type random stuff into Google, it almost always does this.
Yeah. However, it's weird. And that's why there's so much talk around this. Go ahead.
What's another thing we can just randomly type? I want to see it do something different now. You know what I mean? Like if you're saying it like, you know, this isn't normal or necessarily, you know.
No, it is normal. That's the thing. It is completely normal.
Okay.
Yeah. But then,
because I just thought
the
like
thing
typing
is
any random item into Google always returned you, you know, like, you know, in your, even in your all results, there was always like shopping pictures there and stuff like that. I mean, I scroll past it. It's just like when I search for random stuff on, you know, just any random stuff on Google, like, in general, like I have trained myself to always scroll past all sponsored results. you know, like even if I go to Google and I'm literally going to Google to type in, you know, like Home Depot, because I want to go to Home Depot and I'm too lazy to type .com in. And so even when I do that, it'll come up. And like, of course, the sponsored result is a sponsored result from Google through Home Depot to the website. I will scroll past that just to go to the actual search result for HomeDepot.com. And so I mean, I've always just skimmed past, you know, the random shopping pictures like that. But are you saying that they're manipulating the results, or that people are saying that they shouldn't show shopping results at all when you type in items? Like, because I feel like that's the whole point. I don't get what the issue is here.
Here's the quote. It says, "What Google has done is illegal under EU antitrust rules," declared Margrethe Vestager. I really hope I said that correctly. It's spelled kind of odd. That's the European Union's competition commissioner. It has denied other companies the chance to compete on their merits and to innovate. And most importantly, it has denied European consumers the benefits of competition, genuine choice, and innovation. They like throwing around innovation, don't they? Basically, from what I've heard of Scuttlebutt, EU antitrust rules, okay, the United States antitrust rules are more about protecting consumers, whereas the EU antitrust rules are more geared towards protecting other companies. So when, you know, they keep saying that the other companies couldn't compete on their merits because Google is such a big part of the internet, and you know, you Google things, everybody Googles things, that's the way it works. But because they're so big, they're saying that they used that to promote their own sponsored products over other products, because that is, you know, at the top, and the sponsored section, they're saying it's too small, you know, it doesn't say sponsored big enough and things like that.
Yeah, but even in that sponsored section, it's not really Google promoting its own stuff. We just scrolled through and it's like Etsy and eBay and, you know, and for all I know, Google owns both those websites. I have no idea, but, it is just, you know, shopping results. So I'm not really sure. Are they complaining? Like, do you have to like do something special to get included in those results? And they're complaining about that being unfair? Or I think maybe the EU just sounds butthurt here for some reason.
It's advertising. So those items are being advertised. Google's being paid to put those items up there. That's why it says sponsored.
Sure. Yeah. I get that.
So, I mean, it's not, you know, a company vindictively promoting one person's product over another. It's they're being paid to promote a product, and they promote a product. That's how it works. That's how advertising works. And for some reason, it seems like the EU doesn't think Google is advertising. Yeah. I don't understand how they think this is going. I mean, I don't understand why they think this is true. The EU is not, I don't know. I think they're misunderstanding some things. And also, you know, you got to remember that the algorithm orders search results in matter of relevance and merit. And they're talking about these companies not being able to compete on their merits. But the fact of the matter is, maybe they are competing on their merits. Maybe their merits just can't compete. You know? Maybe the companies just aren't good enough to get that high up in the Google search results. If that's the case, they're competing on their merits right now. They're just not able to actually compete. You know what I mean? It'd be like, you know, Joe's freaking shoe shop competing with the likes of Famous Footwear and Shoe Carnival and Payless and all these different shoe stores. You know, a little company is not going to be able to compete very well with a big company. That's unfortunately, that's the way it works. But and Google has said when you shop online, you want to find the products you're looking for quickly and easily. And advertisers want to promote those same products. That's why Google shows shopping ads, connecting our users with thousands of advertisers, large and small, in ways that are useful for both. Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. This seems way more political than it does financial.
Either that, or I guess it might just be like a difference in, you know, like we're just more accustomed to it. You know, maybe our rules here are more lax in regards to that kind of thing. And so, you know, it doesn't bother me that there are sponsored results like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I really just don't get their beef here, you know?
Yeah. And plus, it says sponsored. I know that Google was paid to put those products in front of my face. If I didn't want those products, and a lot of times I'll use the Google shopping thing and I'll get a better deal somewhere. You know, I'll be looking at a camera on Amazon that's going to cost me $700. I type it in for a review. I'm not even looking for the product. I'm looking for a review on Google. They show me a shopping result that's like $550 at B&H Photo. And it's like, what the hell? So I go to B&H Photo, and sure enough, there it is, $550. I would have been spending $150 more had Google not shown me that ad.
And like, you know, if I had to even come up with like a, you know, a concern, you know, regarding this whole situation, it reminds me of when we were talking about, I think, that video game thing that you like, Steam or whatever, and how much it costs to get your video game on the platform or whatever we were discussing. And that's why I was asking about whether or not they're making it, you know, too difficult to be included in the results. You know, is the advertisement fee just too astronomical for all these companies that the EU is trying to defend? You know, is Google charging an exorbitant fee, or, you know what I mean? Like, if not, then I really don't know what the deal is, what the issue is. It's just advertising, like you said.
Yeah.
You're fining them. You're literally fining them for, you know, accepting advertising money.
Yep. Because that is Google's business. Let's not get that confused. Google is search, but you don't make money off search. Google's business is advertising. That's just the way it is.
If you want to be fair, that's really the business of the internet as a whole, you know?
True. Yeah. So I think this is freaking ridiculous. They're flexing nuts, basically, is what they're doing. They're trying to make, you know, they're whipping their dick out and slapping it on the table. They want everyone to know that they've got the gall to take on Google. And I think that's the wrong way to go about it. They should do Google. If, you know, I mean, you hate to be vindictive about things, but I'm one of those people that thinks that, you know, I support Google enough that I kind of think that anytime someone does something like this, Google should just pull out of that country and see. Because what country was it that they pulled out of? Was it China? I think it was.
I don't know. I know there's like, I thought they offered like a very restricted version in China.
Yeah, Google pulls search engine out of China. This is in 2010. Business Insider. But it was, they pulled out of China because they wouldn't censor search results. And
I think they do now, though.
Well, they made a compromise, I'm sure. But the fact of the matter was, they showed China that people want Google, even if the government doesn't, the people do. And, you know, it's one of those things. There's more people than there are governments. So. All right. Let's see. Sean, is your computer updated? You up to date? Got all your Microsoft updates?
Yeah. Should be.
I hope so. because malware is rampant, and there's new malware out there called NotPetya. let's see here. Petya, I believe, was the one that we just recently had that was basically, it was an encrypting malware. It encrypted all your files and then held them ransom. This one is not Petya, and it says that it encrypts them, but nobody is actually made. I mean, there's not. Let's see here. This is from the Register, and it says here, although it demands about $300 in Bitcoin to unscramble the hostage data, the mechanism put in place to collect this money from victims in exchange for decryption keys quickly disintegrated. Despite the slick programming behind the fast-spreading malware, little effort or thought was put into pocketing the loot, it appears.
Hmm.
Basically, they just wanted to do it for the lulz.
Interesting.
Yeah. Seems like something you would do, like a total dick move. Yeah, so definitely keep your computer.
How is this one spread?
Let's see here. It uses a modified version of the WannaCry, the SMB exploit, the Samba protocol. That's what Windows uses to trade files back and forth. So
I guess what I'm asking here on a really dumbed down level, am I going to get an infected email, or, you know, am I going to get this from visiting a shady website, or, you know, how am I going to get this?
It can come in many different forms. I mean, any form that can spread files, really. It can be, you can hide this stuff in photo files, in Word documents. Everything has so much coding to it nowadays that, shy of just a regular old text document, pretty much everything can be infected.
Huh.
And regular old text documents might be able to also. I'm not sure. I never got that far into coding. I was a Visual Basic person. So, yeah, it's scary stuff, but just make sure you update your computer, because these kind of things are being fixed. And it, you know, as long as you're updated, you should be okay within reason. The software does, it looks like here, this is kind of interesting. Once it gets admin access, the software can not only lift credentials out of RAM to access other internal systems, it can rewrite the local workstation's hard drive's master boot record so that only the malware starts up when the machine reboots rather than Windows. That's crazy. Yeah. So, and if this happens to you, don't pay. You probably won't get your keys, and there's no reason to give away money.
With this one in particular, it appears there is no way to pay anyway, because they said it disintegrated. So,
yeah. Let's see here. Does say in this Register article, creating the read-only file C Windows per fc.dat on your computer prevents the file scrambling part of NotPetya from running. It doesn't stop it spreading on the network. Note the software is designed to spread internally for less than an hour when it kicks in. It doesn't attempt to spread externally across the internet like WannaCry did. That's very interesting. Very interesting. So, yeah, don't ever pay for things like this. It just makes it to where more people will do it. Back up your data. Use an offline service if you're techie and you want to do it yourself. Use some piece of software where you can back up to an outside source. I like the 3-2-1 backup. The process. You got to have one. You need to keep at least 3 copies of your data. This is from Carbonite's website, which is a good backup service. 2, you keep the backed up data on 2 different storage types. So CDs and hard drives, USB sticks and CDs, USB sticks and hard drives, that kind of thing. Cloud and USB stick. I use hard drives and cloud myself. And then you need to keep at least one copy of the data off site. So if you're using a cloud backup, you've already done two of these things. And if you set up versioning on that cloud backup where it keeps three different versions of your data, you're good to go. So something like Carbonite or CrashPlan or maybe Backblaze does it as well. Any of these services will help you back up your data and avoid seeing the dreaded text. So, do you back up, Sean?
No.
You are so fucked.
I really don't have data to back up. I mean,
Sean gets this text. He just throws his computer in the trash. It's like, oh, well, there went that, you know.
Like, I don't know what, I mean, I don't really know, like, what data people would need to be backing up. You know what I mean?
Are you kidding me?
Right. Like, other than, like, a business.
What about photos?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess we got photos. But again, like every photo that is on my computer, you know, came from an SD card that's floating around here somewhere.
Floating around there somewhere. That sounds like a very solid backup scheme.
It's in the house somewhere. They exist somewhere. And if not that, you know, all the really important ones are probably on my Facebook page or whatever, you know, photographs. We're not big photograph people, really. So
gotcha.
I'm not concerned about that.
I have just over 100,000 pictures.
Oh, yeah. You see, but like you're a photographer and stuff, though,
well,
you know?
Yeah,
like,
but,
so,
you know, I don't do it as a business. I do it as a hobby. So, you know, but I have to back those up. Then what about documents, financial documents, medical documents? You just keep those in a file folder in a box somewhere?
Medical document. I mean, like we have a physical file folder here at the home. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Hard
yeah,
copy.
I've got like a file cabinet.
Hard copy is gross.
But yeah. So like you know the obvious like okay so like you know my TurboTax. You know mm-hmm. Yeah. Like obviously there are digital copies of my TurboTax returns. You know stored on my PC in the office. But you also have a TurboTax account, and they store that shit as well. So it's backed up onto their cloud. You know, you have a TurboTax account. And then we might have actually even printed them out and saved them in, you know, put them in the file folder like we do. So, we do have hard copy stuff. Yeah, I really can't, you know, my resume, like, everything I've ever written for 8 Days a Geek. Yeah.
Wow. You know, I can get that for you.
but again, even that's all saved on, you know, on wherever we store our data. I don't even know. But
the magical
my Word,
unicorn cloud of the internet.
Right. I have Word document copies of everything I've ever written. You know, I have Word document copies of stuff that I've done for, you know, the other podcasts and other things that I've written, you know, things like that. But yeah, I can't think of a whole lot of stuff that's really.
Wow.
That I really store digitally. I guess maybe I'm just old school. I don't know.
I think maybe you are because the majority of stuff nowadays is digital. I don't keep hard copies of like anything. I always go for digital because hard copies take up so much goddamn room. They're just like my taxes. It's ridiculous. It's like a book. There's no way I'm keeping that around.
We have like one of those like two drawer high file cabinets in our office.
I do too. Yeah. And it's full of shit that I wish I could just digitize and be done with it. But there are some things that I digitize them, but then I keep the digital or the hard copy too. And that's I used to print my taxes out every single year. I would print out a hard copy version of my taxes. I haven't done it for years. I keep digital copies only. I bought a thumb drive that has a keypad digital lock on it, and I just put it on there. I don't like every time I've ever had physical copies of something, I've lost them. At least if they're digital, I know where they are. I know how to get to them, you know, things like that.
But, see, I think I'm more prone to losing stuff digitally.
Nice. Awesome. All right. Well, prepare to lose your shit digitally, Sean. Red, the high-fangled camera maker, you know, they make like the Red Dragon, the Red Weapon, the crazy expensive but really nice cameras.
Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah.
They're making a smartphone, and I think it's going to be your next phone, Sean.
Somehow I doubt that.
Really? You think? Because I don't know. Sounds just like Sean's new phone.
It says it's so, $1,200.
That's the base model. You don't want to get the base model, Sean. Base model's useless. Okay, so it's called the Hydrogen One, and it is, the base model is $1,200. Let me see here. I had a spec sheet at one point here. Forgot where I got it from. Oh, come on. Damn it. Anyway, let's see here. So it's got a holographic display, a 5.7-inch display, somehow uses nanotechnology to seamlessly switch between traditional 2D content, holographic multi-view content, 3D content, and interactive games. Ah, found it. Okay, here we go. Let's see here. View traditional 2D content normally at full screen resolution. View holographic Red Hydrogen 4 view content, H4V. View stereo 3D content and view 2D, 3D, VR, and AR and MR. Let's see here. Assault your senses. Embedded in the OS is a proprietary H3O algorithm that converts stereo sound into expansive multi-dimensional audio. Lots of buzzwords. think 5.1 on your headphones. A perfect match for holographic H4V or just listening to your favorite tunes on your $1,200 phone. This is red right here. This is so red. Modularity. Hydrogen One is the foundation of a future multidimensional media system. The Hydrogen system incorporates a new high-speed data bus to enable a comprehensive and ever-expanding modular component system, which will include future attachments for shooting higher-quality motion and still images, as well as Hydrogen-format holographic images. Red is really bad about that. Like, you buy a Red camera for God knows how much, but then in order to actually use it, you have to buy another, like, $20,000 worth of attachments.
Right.
Otherwise, it doesn't even work. It's crazy. Let's see here. Okay, so $1,195 for the aluminum version, which we know Sean's going to say, fuck that. I don't want aluminum. I want the good one. So Sean, on the other hand, is going to be pre-ordering the $1,595 titanium
version. Titanium.
Yes, yes, yes. So what do you get in this $1,600 box? Well, you get the Hydrogen One media machine, not even a phone, it's a media machine now, with a USB-C cable and charger, an expandable micro SD card slot, plus a special small token for ordering early, is what they say. yeah. So the Hydrogen One is targeted to ship Q1 2018. I mean, looking at the back of it, it looks pretty kick-ass looking, but I don't understand. Like, maybe I'll understand once it releases or something, but I'm not sure what any of this holographic, this hydrogen holographic display mumbo-jumbo is. I don't get
now,
it.
I watched the little video thing with no audio while you were talking, and they kind of described it as maybe being like the the 3DS display or the Amazon Fire Phone.
Gotcha.
In the way that you can, like, you know, track your eye movement and peek around objects and something like that. But then the little video set, hopefully it does it better than those two things do. And my wife has a Fire Phone, so I can tell you, you know, from actually handling them that it's not very impressive.
I love it. I don't know, man. It has a headphone jack, looks like.
Yeah, I saw that, and a USB port.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. Might be your next Pokemon Go thing, you know? Whip out your $1,600 phone and play Pokemon Go. You're ordering one right now, right, Sean?
I already did.
Yeah, awesome. Cool.
Titanium, of course.
Of course. I mean, yeah, you don't want to skimp out on some cheap shit aluminum thing. So, all right. That's all I got for tech news. Not a lot happening in the world of tech, guys. So we're going to move on.
I have to tell you something, Trevor. It's time for TV news.
Okay, Sean.
What are you waiting for? I can't hear the stuff you play, so you have to, like, cue me or something.
It? Oh.
No.
I totally thought that I'd fix that last time. Sorry, guys.
I just wait for you to tell me when I can talk, because you have such a janky setup around here.
Fuck you, Sean. Anyway.
So we all know that Supergirl now airs on the CW after spending its first season on CBS. And for those two seasons, the actress Laura Benanti has, and I might be saying that wrong, has played Kara Zor-El's mother, Allura, as well as her twin sister, the villain Astra, on the show. And recently, and let me preface this by saying that everything I've read so far on this is that, like, this is very amicable and that there is nothing, you know, wrong with the show or anything like that. But Laura Benanti has, like, other commitments in New York City, and this show does now film in Vancouver, I believe, where all the CW shows film, which is why Calista Flockhart left the show as well as a regular when the CW picked it up, because they moved production. And apparently Benanti has commitments in New York City that she needs to take care of, and she will no longer be able to carry on the role of Allura on Supergirl. So they've recast it, and I'm actually pretty excited about this. I'm not sure if you were with me or not, but we saw the gal who is now going to play this role at Comic-Con, and that will be Erica Durance, who played the role of Lois Lane on Smallville for numerous years. So do you remember, were you at that, did you go to that panel with me? Like, I know I saw her at Wizard World. I think it was when we were in Chicago.
If it was Chicago, I probably did not.
Because I think we split up a lot when we were there, because it was there was just so much going on. I know I went to some really small ones.
Yeah, and I typically go to, like, one or two big panels, and then I'm on the floor, like, the whole day.
Right. Like, I remember that, you know, like, in that one, you know, I remember going to the costume contest that night, and I remember that we both went to, I believe, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy panel. But yeah, I saw Erica Durance at Wizard World because I was a big fan of Smallville when it was on. And she has been cast to take over the dual role of, you know, Allura / Astra, whatever. And everything seems, you know, like I said, like, amicable. You know, this wasn't anyone being fired or anything like that. So
you're fired.
I mean, I'm pretty cool with it. I like that casting too. Like, they also had Terry Hatcher on the show in the previous season, so they've already had one former Lois Lane on the show. They also have had Dean Cain on the show. He has a role as well. So it's cool that they bring in, you know, former Superman character, you know, actors to play roles on the show. So I'm cool with this. I think it's a pretty good. I'm still actually not finished with the current season of this show. I think I've got like 5 episodes left on my TiVo that I need to finish up. Did you ever even watch this at all?
Oh, hell no.
I know you don't like Superman at all, so I can't imagine you really would have, you know, watched Supergirl.
I have a real Kryptonian prejudice. It's like the only thing I'm prejudiced about in the entire world is that Kryptonians need to go home. Go back to your planet.
Wow, man. Wow.
Yeah, I don't like Superman, Supergirl, Superboy, any of the supers. So, but more power
it's
to people.
It's pretty good. DC does a good job with their TV shows, you know, regardless of whether it's Superman, you know, Supergirl, whatever. It's a good universe they've got going on the CW over there. So it's definitely not my favorite of all the shows, as you can see by the fact that, you know, I've already watched all of Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, but I still have episodes of Supergirl left on my TiVo to watch. So
I do like
it's definitely not my favorite, but. You know, and you like The Flash, so
yeah,
you know they do crossovers and stuff, and I feel like you gotta keep up with all of them, you know, in case, because they have those like whole week crossovers where every show crosses over with one another, and it's like, ah, well, now I need to be caught up with Supergirl in order to know like how the hell this is occurring, you know?
Yeah, see, I never really cared for the character of The Flash, but. To be honest, once I started watching the TV show, I actually got pulled in pretty well. That was very well written. The Reverse Flash, the guy who plays the Reverse Flash, he's like one of my favorite character actors. I really like him. And that actually helped get me into it pretty quick, you know, because I liked him on he was on Scrubs. He was JD's brother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tom Cavanaugh is his name.
That's him.
Yes.
But I can't get over that.
And he really, you should really refer to him as playing Harrison Wells.
Oh, it's been on for God knows how many seasons.
No, what I'm saying is that, like, that character is very complicated because he plays Harrison Wells, but he also plays, you know, Harrison Wells' body was taken over by the Reverse Flash.
I don't remember what his regular name is, do you?
What do you mean?
He's not Harrison Wells. He's playing Eobard Thawne. That was it.
Right, but Eobard Thawne.
Yeah. Eobard
is right, but Eobard Thawne is actually like how, are you caught up in the show? You know, like in The Flash, like how far behind are you on that show?
Oh God, I don't know. What was the last thing I watched? There's somebody. A Flash from another dimension showed up. So I'm like,
you don't even know like what season?
No, I have no idea what season. I can tell you. All right. Relatively quickly, but
regardless, Tom Cavanaugh plays Harrison Wells. Eobard Thawne is the Reverse Flash, mm-hmm. and he had taken over that body.
Yeah.
But Eobard Thawne is actually like a blonde dude.
Well, yeah, I know that. No, I understand that completely.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, Eobard Thawne took over Harrison Wells' appearance. But he's still technically Eobard Thawne.
Yes.
So, you know.
But Tom Cavanaugh not only plays that role, but he also plays like a bunch of other Harrison Wells. Because now that they've opened up, you know, the multiverse, like they've met like 5 different Harry Wells from 5 different universes. And it's always Tom Cavanaugh playing that role.
That's
why I'm saying like you need to give credit where credit is due to Tom Cavanaugh. You like him so much as an actor because he's playing Harrison Wells in like a bunch of different versions. And it's brilliant. He's really, really good at the job. And Eobard Thawne is played by, you know, this douchey blonde guy who does a really good job of being a bad guy.
Okay, I have watched up to episode 2 of season 2.
Oh, well, shit. That explains the problem.
There's only 3 seasons in there. The third season just ended, right? Something like that?
I don't. Yeah, that sounds about
right.
I've
only got three seasons, so either I'm missing something or that's all there is.
Sure.
Okay. So you're telling me I need to keep watching it. I put it on pause for a while. Shit. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
One more thing I got to freaking keep up with.
And eventually they're going to do crossovers with Supergirl. They're going to do like a musical episode. And there's going to be a whole week long crossovers where it also crosses over with Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow. You know, they do a good job. So, you know, I'm cool with this. I think it's a good casting call. So.
Oh, yeah. It's Zoom. That's the bad guy in this season, I think. Okay.
What's your favorite Kevin Bacon movie?
Oh God, what was it? Hollow Man.
Hollow, really? That like of all the billion Kevin Bacon movies there have been.
Oh yeah,
Hollow Man.
Oh yeah.
Not like Footloose.
Nope. I like Hollow Man. I've been asked that question before.
So I would probably have to go to his IMDb page and scroll through it for 10 minutes to actually pick a favorite.
It would take at least that long.
Right.
For the page to load, probably. So many but damn one of entries.
One of the first movies that almost always pops into mind, just as one of his most famous, is, of course, the 1990 movie Tremors.
Which I also like.
It's a great film. It was a great movie. And I'm not even a big fan of, you know, like, I don't know, giant monsters or whatever. I don't even know what genre you would classify that movie as. But it was enjoyable as a kid. So NBC Universal owned cable network Sci-Fi Channel has ordered the pilot episode of a TV adaptation of the 1990 film starring Kevin Bacon. And now hold on, because the show that they've ordered, this pilot episode, will also star Kevin Bacon.
Nice.
And he will executive produce alongside David Schiff from Southpaw and Blumhouse Television. So Kevin Bacon is going to actually star in this TV show. That sounds fantastic. So, I mean, when I saw the headline, Tremors TV show, I was immediately like, oh my God, this is going to be just awful. This is going to be like Sharknado, you know, on Sci-Fi Channel. However, the fact that Kevin Bacon is putting his name on it and like starring in it and executive producing it makes me think that this might not actually be bad.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get big Hollywood actors doing TV shows very often that they're willing to put that much guff behind. That sounds really cool, because looking at where that character is 25 years after all of that, that's a good premise, because you figure he's got to be like either monopolizing on the Graboid thing and he's just like, you know, selling Graboid merchandise and signing autographs, kind of a washed up hero kind of a thing,
right?
You know, I don't know, you can go different directions with it. I totally give this a shot.
Yeah, it says that Sci-Fi actually tried this back in 2003. I don't remember this, but they made Tremors the series and ran it for one 13-episode season before it was canceled. And then they planned a second TV adaptation, or they didn't, but a second TV adaptation was announced in 2015, but failed to land a network. So
I think I remember us talking about that.
Yeah, I don't. Did we talk about that? I don't know if we did or not.
I don't know. I feel like we have.
Maybe we have. We'd have to go back through all the different show notes. Have we been doing this since late 2015?
That's a really good question.
I don't know.
Let me.
What's the very first
show notes?
Do they have? We don't put. You don't put the episode on the show notes, do you? Or the date?
I don't put the date, but I can see when it. I probably see when it was created.
Oh yeah,
last edit was made in 2015, August 30th.
Ooh, so maybe we have talked about this before, going back to like one of our oldest episodes. We must have talked about the failed version of this. Now we need to go back and find out what we said. Hopefully we said, this is going to fail unless it contains Kevin Bacon.
If you just look for Tremors, you only find today's episode. So we might not have, we might have talked about it, like you and me, but we might not have talked about it on the show.
Well, darn.
Darn. We could have had a play, like go back and play what we said.
Right.
Damn it. We could
have done like a clip show or something. Greatest hits of our predictions.
I hate those so much. They're so hard to put together. Alrighty.
So let's see. It says any more information here. It says a potential Tremors reboot comes in the midst of a branding refresh for Sci-Fi, which is timed to the net. I haven't heard about this. Is there a branding change? They're hoping to double down on original programming. Upcoming projects such as a Superman prequel and Happy, an adaptation of the famed Grant Morrison graphic novel, both of which recently earned series pickups. We'll have to do a little more investigation into this. This is an interesting article. So it sounds pretty cool. I wouldn't say like crazy excited for a Tremors TV show, but I'll definitely give it a chance, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not like you said. I'm not going to be setting my DVR, but I might try to check out the pilot and, you know.
Well, see what happens. When you say setting your DVR, you mean like setting reoccurring? Pass.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And here's another one that I think I would check out only under just morbid curiosity. And that's apparently that the Jetsons are going to return to television. So, if I remember from reading this earlier this morning correctly, there's no network attached to this. Yeah, right there. No network has been attached to this potential remake. However, Warner Brothers has decided to bring the Jetsons back to TV. And wait for it, it's not going to be animated. They're going to bring the Jetsons to TV in a live action form. So I don't know.
Do they have any casting yet?
They do not.
Let's cast this on a pitch right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. But hold on. Yeah. I love cartoons. I loved the Jetsons when I was a kid. A live action version could, like, it depends on what you go with it. Like, is it going to be like a wholesome, you know, family sitcom? Because, like, you know, like a Full House. Like, I'm probably not going to watch that, you know. But if it's something like this new Seth MacFarlane sci-fi sitcom that's supposed to be on TV, I can't remember the name of it.
The Orville.
There you go. And, you know, if it's something funny like that, I could get behind it. There was a sitcom. It didn't take place in space or the future or anything, but there was a sitcom on a couple of years ago called The Neighbors for like two seasons. That was about, you know, aliens living, you know, amongst us in this one particular neighborhood. And it was a silly half hour sitcom, and I found it enjoyable enough. So I think depending on how this is done, it could be entertaining. However, I do not believe that they will find that very slim chance. You know what I mean? I'm betting this will fail. But go on. You want to cast this?
I want to cast this so bad.
Okay.
Okay. So let's start with our picks. Well, we'll start small, work our way up. So Elroy.
Elroy. So yeah. I mean, we need to cast a little Elroy? Boy.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily, because it's a rebranding. So Elroy could be a teenager, or it could be, you know, something like that.
Well, the sister needs to be the teenager, though. That's the whole dynamic of the show. So, I mean, if you really want to, we could gender swap them or something like that and make it a little girl and a teenage boy. But, you know, I kind of like the idea of, like, you know, the teenage girl and then the little boy and his dog. You know, isn't that the whole point, you know?
Okay, let's go with that then.
Let's not make any major changes.
Okay, so Elroy.
Elroy. So let's cast a little boy. I'm trying to think of shows that I've seen recently with kids in them. The Mick on Fox is a pretty funny show now. It's got some little kids in it. In fact, the little kid in it's really good. I don't know. It's hard to cast kids. I don't have any kids. You watch a lot of kids programming.
I do. It would help if he were blonde, I guess, because Elroy is blonde.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, if I mean, you look, it's not 100% necessary.
Him on, he's blonde. The sister's got white hair. The mom's got orange hair. The dad's got red hair. I don't think it matters in the future, apparently. So
just going off facial features, you don't have anybody, huh?
No, I mean, like, well, I'm trying to think of somebody, but like, I can't think of anything with children in it off the top of my head.
Okay, well, I've got two. So
go ahead.
So go ahead and get ready to Google these names so you can see their pictures.
Okay.
My first choice is Owen Vaccaro. He's from Daddy's Home. Yeah, with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. I had to look up his name. I did not know his name, but it's Vaccaro for his last name. Owen Vaccaro.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see him.
That's my first.
And he's in what?
Daddy's Home. The movie with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell.
Gotcha.
He's in some other things. Okay. Mother's Day, Daddy's Home to Fun Mom Dinner. But okay. The other one is August Maturo. I hope I'm saying that last name correctly. August, like the month. Maturo is Maturo. He's been a little bit more, but I saw him from Girl Meets World. Which, by the way, my daughter doesn't watch. My wife did.
Okay. Yeah. See, I could see that. Now,
that's based just on looks. You know, I mean.
See, now that TV show that I was talking about, I don't know its name. So let's see. The Mick is the name of the show with Caitlin Olson. And he is like the youngest kid on the show. Hitting IMDb.
Is it Mick, like M-I-C?
Yeah, the Mick. M-I-C-K. Sorry, M-I-C-K. Okay.
Gotcha. Found it.
Jack Stanton.
Jack
is
Stanton.
The kid's name.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, it could totally be Elroy. Okay. So now Judy. It's Judy, right? Judy's the daughter.
The daughter, yes, I believe.
Yeah. Meet George Jetson, Jane, his wife, his boy Elroy. Yeah. Judy.
Daughter Judy. Yeah.
Yep. It's sad that we can do that.
Right.
Okay, so Judy. Judy,
like a you know, a vapid teen daughter kind of role.
Oh man,
this is also hard. I just don't know a lot of
I don't know a lot of teenage stuff. Yeah, I don't know a lot of teenage actresses right now. That's the biggest problem. Let's see here. What's her name? From what's Catwoman's name from Gotham?
Oh, okay, yeah, that girl. Yeah, I don't know her name, like her real name.
Yeah, I gotta look it up. Come on, IMDb. Don't do this to me.
I can't think of any other. Again, like with the teenage kids, there's not a whole lot of teenagers in the TV shows that I watch.
gotcha. Let's see here. Selena Kyle is played by Carmen Bicandova, I think.
You know who I actually like from that show better? No, she's too old.
Well, I mean, that 30-year-olds play 18-year-olds every once in a while. I mean, look at Moaning Myrtle from Harry Potter. She's like 32 playing a 14-year-old. So it's very possible. It depends on the person.
I was going to say the gal who plays Poison Ivy now, like now that Poison Ivy on that show is like a grown-up.
Okay.
But I don't know how grown-up she's supposed to be.
Oh, man. I know I've seen the episode where she turns, and I cannot remember who it is that plays her.
Yeah, I don't know. Who else would be a decent one? I just don't know the names of any teenage girls.
Maggie Gaea. I don't know how you say that. Yeah, she could probably play young. I mean, I guess it really truly depends on, because you look at Elroy, and Elroy looks, you know, very young because he's small, but maybe Elroy's just small.
Right.
You know, so Elroy could be technically, you know, 13, 14, you know, depending on how you play it. You could move them up a little bit, and she could still be, you know, a vapid 20-year-old, because those definitely exist. You know, she could be a millennial.
Sure.
We'll call them the new millennials, because this is the future. Yeah, that's true. Okay, so Jane, his wife.
Jane is wife. Okay, let's see. I mean, I immediately start thinking of like other sitcom moms. And so I start thinking of like the mom from like the mom who's on The Middle. The mom, she was also on Everybody Loves Raymond, but she might be even too old. I don't know how old you want to go with the role.
I don't really think it matters that much.
Let's see. Who else could be decent? Sitcom mom. Sitcom mom. Man, it's so hard to cast it on the spot.
Yeah, well, that's the fun part right there. I love hearing the cogs work in your head.
Start throwing out some sitcoms or something. I'm trying to think of.
Dude,
I can't even think
TV.
Of TV shows that I.
I'm going through actresses, like just all actresses. I can't do sitcom because I just don't know anybody.
Right. Let me see here. I gotta think.
Okay, so some of the people that I was thinking of was Jeri Ryan.
Jeri Ryan?
Yeah.
Really?
We haven't seen her for
Star
a while.
Star Trek.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
I mean, she'd have to be a little toned down. You know, we're talking basically begging these people into future housewives. So, you know. Let's see. I got to find her name. I toyed with the idea of Allison Hannigan just because of the red hair thing.
I could see that.
Yeah. And now that she's getting older, she would actually, you know, and that would bring a little bit of comedy because she's really good at comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that, actually.
Yeah. I was toying with that idea.
I think Felicia Day is probably still too young looking, right?
I don't know. She might. I mean, she has a very childish, you know, demeanor about her. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. You got you got Melissa Joan Hart.
That's not a bad one. She could be like, you know, I could see her playing the Jetsons wife, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the mom on the Jetsons.
So I think Allison Hannigan might be my pick.
I like that choice.
Yeah, that's a that keeps the comedy alive. I have one picked for George that's gonna blow your mind. But you gotta bear with me.
Okay. Somebody for George. That's I'm just not very good at this.
I gotta do my George last because I'm gonna have to defend it. I have a feeling.
I don't know. You know who I think I would like for George would be H. John Benjamin. The guy who does Archer's voice and everything,
that'd be a good
him
one.
As the him actually playing the role, you know, since it's not an animated thing. Okay. I think he could be because like he's in Wet Hot American Summer. I think he could be funny in the role.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I'm not totally opposed to that. That's not bad. Okay, so. I have three. We're gonna start at the third runner up. It was John Hamm. Is that based simply on looks?
John Hamm, who we've talked about before, should like play the role of Archer. The H. John Benjamin exactly. voices.
Exactly. Right. Then second runner up, Bryan Cranston, because I love him and he plays TV dads, so
sure
he would match pretty well. Top of the list. Born in Oxford, England on June 11th, 1959, Hugh Laurie. look at Hugh Laurie. Look at George Jetson.
Holy absolutely. Absolutely. He's a little old for the role, though.
I don't even care. I would do it just for Hugh Laurie in a comedy role on TV.
And then I think Spacely, you know, Spacely, he's not in the picture that we're looking at.
Danny DeVito.
We're all looking at Danny DeVito, of course.
It's got to be Danny DeVito.
It has to be Danny DeVito.
Oh.
It's the only thing we can all agree on.
And then what about, what's the robot's name?
Oh, Rosie?
Yeah, Rosie. Do we have a voice for Rosie? Can we come up with a voice for Rosie?
Okay, so Rosie needs a voice.
Yeah, just a voice.
I don't remember how Rosie sounded in the cartoon. She didn't have like an ethnic voice or nothing.
No. Well, she actually had, if I remember right, she had kind of a New York kind of a thing happening. Let me see if I can find it. She had an accent, but it was very New York housewife.
I just know like, you know, that show was created back in, you know, like the 50s or something, you know, the Flintstones back then. And, you know, a lot of that stuff had a lot of weird racial undertones and things like that. So I don't remember whether they gave like the maid like a Mexican voice or, you know, something like that that at the time might not have been considered racist or.
It's hard for me to actually like find one here. Where she's just the one talking. You're welcome, sir. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
You're welcome, sir. Yeah. So she has like a New England-ish type of what are you talking about? Yeah. So
I'm gonna make the worst suggestion ever.
God.
I'm gonna say Fran Drescher.
Oh God. But it's the best. It's the best suggestion ever. Because I was thinking either her or I forget her real name, but the wife on King of Queens.
Oh, Leah Remini.
Yeah. Yeah, because she has that too. Coffee.
Sure, sure.
But I think Fran Drescher would be better.
She was the nanny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's perfect. All right, so we just casted the Jetsons. Whoever picks it up, you're welcome. I mean, we just did your job. I'll be expecting my check for casting director in the mail, if you don't mind.
Me too.
All right. That was fun. I like casting movies, especially when you don't have like the hang-ups of a budget or actual people saying yes to things. I just assumed that I'd be like, hey, Hugh, good old HL, I'm doing this movie about the Jetsons. You want to be George? Yeah? Awesome. Thanks. Click. That's just how I think of it. You know. I just assumed me and Hugh Laurie would be friends.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
No, no reason not to. Alrighty. Next.
All right. Next is the big news. The big news. The news to end all news. The news that fans have been waiting for since season two ended. And that would be that Rick and Morty has finally, it's been announced when season three will be returning. Or when it will be, I can't even say premiering since they aired the premiere episode on April Fool's Day.
It's weird.
And then have not showed anymore. But the team at Rick and Morty held a live stream event recently, which I hear was absolutely hilarious.
Yes,
and
it was.
During the live stream event, they unleashed the new trailer upon us, for season three, as well as announced that it will return to Adult Swim on July 30th. So, get ready, July 30th, Pickle Rick.
Pickle Rick! Love, love, a dub, dub!
If you haven't watched the trailer, it's in the link in the show notes. It is amazing. And I cannot wait.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's so awesome.
Flip me over, Morty. I turned myself into a pickle. I'm Pickle Rick.
Pickle Rick. Oh. I don't know why I'm so hooked on that show, but it is so funny and so good.
So good. Wubba lubba dub dub. It's how the article ends too. Yeah. Like, I love that.
Wubba lubba dub dub.
Oh man.
Ricky Tiki Tabby.
So July 30th, set your DVRs.
Or my favorite. Lick 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 my balls.
It's the darkest year of their adventures yet. Wow. And we're gonna get some of that spicy Szechuan dipping sauce, damn it.
Man, McDonald's, guys, you're missing out on a big opportunity. You put out that spicy Szechuan dipping sauce, and I swear, people will buy boxes of this stuff. So yeah, we need at least for
like the first couple weeks.
Yeah, we need that spicy Szechuan dipping sauce. All right, so we'll move on to the next section here, and you're actually responsible for this one too, Sean.
Yeah, because it leads us right into it.
It does. Segway. Go ahead. Talk about it.
So with the announcement that Rick and Morty will be returning for season three on July 30th, the team behind the ever popular Rick and Morty mobile game, which Jesse, I believe you play, correct?
I do.
Pocket Mortys.
I'm playing it right now.
They have announced that to coincide with season three's premiere, that the Pocket Mortys video game will be receiving an update every time a new episode airs.
That's,
how does that make you feel?
That's going to be amazing because I got to collect all the, all the stuff.
So
for those of you who don't believe me, that's Pocket Morty's music right there, buddy.
Sounds like Unsolved Mysteries almost.
It's a little intense.
That's not intense.
Yeah. I mean, the game is, it's basically Pokemon. I mean, it really
is. That's what it says in this article we linked to from The Nerdist. It says that the mobile game that's basically Pokemon, it will feature, it actually says multiplayer features were introduced today. And this article is written on July 5th. Yeah, I haven't tried them yet. So, multiplayer features were already introduced, and as the third season gets underway, weekly updates will be rolled out to coincide with the new episodes, although the first of them will be available on July 23rd. Every week, new avatars will become available for players to collect, some of which include Commander Rick, Judge Morty, Summer, Tinkles, Scary Terry, and most excitingly for me personally, this is the person writing the article, Mr. Derek Rusignol. Ants in my eyes, Johnson.
I got ants in my eyes. I can't see anything. I can't feel anything. It's a rare nerve disorder. God.
And it says down here at the bottom, Jesse, in case you've missed it, it was also recently announced that Pocket Mortys is getting its own comic book. The first issue went on sale today.
Nice. It's awesome. I mean, and if you haven't played, if you like, and when I say it's like Pokemon, I mean it's like the old Pokemon, the top down. You know,
okay.
Walk like around, you, collect Pokemon.
You don't have to, like, go out and catch Pokemon. No. Like, or go out and catch Mortys in the real world, do you?
No, you. It
that
is,
might be kind of fun, though.
It is almost like you took Pokemon and put it on a phone emulator. Like, it has a D-pad on the screen and an A button.
Right.
You use that to move around, and you know, no diagonals in this game. No diagonals. It's left, right, up, and down, just like the old Pokemon games on Game Boy. And you're Rick. You collect Mortys from other dimensions. They have different types. You have rock type, scissor type, and paper type. Get it? Rock, paper, scissors. and you battle them. You know, you catch wild Mortys in the wild, and you can put chips on the back of their neck to control them. You know, it's pretty fantastic. Let me see if I have any of my Mortys here. Let me get my. My Mortys. I got regular Morty because, you know, the OG. I got Scruffy Morty, Count Morty, which is a vampire, and Peace Morty, which is a hippie. Those are the ones I carry with me right now. But yeah.
Where are all the rest of them? Like, do you leave them places?
You can, yeah. I think that's really all the only ones I really have right now, to be honest. I don't collect many. I battle. Which is ironic, considering that with the Pokemon game, I do the exact opposite.
Right.
But, yeah. Fighting Mortys is more fun than fighting Pokemon. Because they're Mortys. You know, and every time they get hit, they're like, oh!
No!
I don't like this, Rick. I don't know how many Mortys there actually are in the game, but there are just a ton. So, yeah, I mean, it's a free game. So, you know, get out there and try it if you liked the original Pokemon any at all. It's kind of fun. It's a good time waster. Alrighty. The next one is one of mine, and it is the Mini SNES Classic. Will launch in September for $80. And if you were going to go ahead and pre-order one, don't. They've already been discontinued. The Nintendo 64 Mini Nintendo. Comes out a week after. Oh, nope, that's discontinued too.
I'm not even going to try for this stupid thing. Screw them. Screw them and their stupid classics.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid. So, and what makes BS. This one $20 more expensive? What is inside this that is going to cost $20 more? Considering that a Raspberry Pi 3 at $30 will do all of these games. And all the NES games that just happened. I don't fucking get it. Anyway, so the full list of games included on the system is Contra 3, The Alien Wars, Donkey Kong Country, Earthbound, Final Fantasy 3, F-Zero, I like that game, Kirby Superstar, Kirby's Dream Course, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, which would be kind of cool.
It's a good one.
Yeah, Mega Man X, Secret of Mana, Star Fox, Star Fox 2, which is previously unreleased.
I like Star Fox.
Yeah, Street Star Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighting, Super That's Castlevania good. 4, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Mario Kart. That'd be cool.
It's good.
Super Mario RPG, The Legend of the Seven Stars, Super Mario World. Got to have that. Super Metroid, Super Punch-Out, and Yoshi's Island.
Eh.
They'll put this out. It'll be discontinued very, very shortly. They won't be able to keep up with demand. And then they'll charge you to play these games on your Nintendo Switch. I called it the first time. There's no reason they're not going to do it again. There's just not. And then the Nintendo 64 will come out. Let's make... I'm willing to go out on a limb here and make a prediction. Let's see when the Nintendo Classic released.
It was last year.
Yeah, so the NES Classic. Let's see. So it was released November 10th, 2016 in the U.S. So it's been a little less than a year. It'll be about, a couple months shy of a year once it actually comes out, because it's in September.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say next year. So by Christmas season 2018, we're going to see a Nintendo 64 version of this.
I mean, it appears to be their MO.
Yeah. And if the Nintendo 64 version doesn't allow four-player on-console play and have GoldenEye, I say we burn Nintendo to the ground. So, yeah. I mean, it's just another retro thing for people to freaking go crazy over. Now, the unreleased Star Fox sequel might be interesting. And there are a couple good games on there. I mean, Legend of Zelda Link to the Past. That's a lot of good gameplay, you know, especially if you're a Zelda fan. So, but still, $80. $80.
Thanks, Batman.
No problem. Pewter. Next story.
Pewter.
I watched that recently.
That's a great movie.
It is fantastic. No, 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 no. Oh, Will Arnett, you are my spirit animal. Okay, so now we'll move on.
And now time for movie news.
Movie news. Young Willy Wonka. So, did you like Willy Wonka? Like the original with Gene Wilder?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Did you like the new one?
Meh.
Same thing as me. Meh. I liked it. I liked it because it was Johnny Depp, and I really like to give Johnny Depp the benefit of the doubt, because when he does awesome movies, it's an awesome movie. But meh. It was a little over the top for me. So there is Scuttlebutt. Very much so Scuttlebutt. It's very, very much so a potential movie project that's in the wind. No real solid anything on it, but it would be a prequel to Willy Wonka, basically a Willy Wonka origin story. It's supposed to take place before either of the movies and before the book. And one A-lister has already shown very much interest in it, and that is Ryan Gosling.
I guess I could kind of see him play the role, maybe.
Yeah.
He's not...
I mean, he's got the musical chops to do it.
He's a good actor, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a pretty boy, but to be completely honest, he's a decent actor, and he has, you know, the musical talent to pull off the musical part of it. And I mean, I'm looking at the picture that CinemaBlend posted, and they couldn't have picked a better picture, because it really kind of does feel like he's a young Willy Wonka. Like, he could be a young Willy Wonka in that, sitting at a piano, playing music, trying to think of how to make his chocolate factory work, you know?
I mean, I would rather see, now this is going way out on a limb, but like, I would rather see somebody like Stephen Colbert do it.
What?
Yeah, like, he's like a comedian who can also, you know, do like singing and dancing and stuff like that, you know? I don't, but he's not really an actor, and he's got his, but like, I would rather see a comedian do it, you know?
Okay.
Than like an actor.
Gotcha.
Like Ryan Gosling. But I don't see anything explicitly wrong with him playing a role like that.
Yeah. What if they went like a maybe it was a darker, grittier Willy Wonka, you know? Like the Willy Wonka that secretly hates children.
That's weird. But again, if you're going, especially if you're telling the story of like a young Willy Wonka, like somebody like Colbert would be too old to do that. He would be, you know, he could play the role in like, you know, a more current remake or something.
You do like Zac Efron.
No.
Like Willy Wonka's just stacked to the rafters with muscles, and then... That's what that purple coat hides, are all of his abs. Why don't we just make it The Rock?
I mean, I'm cool with that.
The Rock and Kevin Hart is the Oompa Loompas.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be cool to see it. And just, if nothing else, for an origin story, it'd be interesting to see. I like the character of Willy Wonka, you know, and I like the, I like the spirit of the original. And I think that it would be nice to see that, you know, rehashed a little.
Sure.
So, all right. Let's see here. Was that? So I got two LOLs for you today. Because one is just not enough. The first one, Sean, I this is something I know you've been waiting for. You've been waiting your whole life for someone to invent it. Now it's okay. Available and you need it. You have to have it in your life. Because
let me click on this.
If there's one thing Sean has always wanted, it's a second opposable thumb.
This third thumb is the unnecessary prosthetic of my dreams.
Yeah.
I need a third thumb?
Yeah. So what it is it's a thumb that you strap onto your hand, and it goes on the other side of your hand from your regular thumb. Okay? And it's control. It's robotic, and it's controlled via sensors in your shoes. So I just watch the video. It's like a minute and 50 seconds long. I'll talk about it here for a second. Let's see here. It can be used for grasping objects. So it's got a little bit of heft, you know, a little bit of pull to it. You know, it can kind of take some of the burden off of your thumb, just in case that's something you have to do, you know. Controlled via Bluetooth. It looks very interesting. It can flex in and out. It can twist a little, it looks like. let's see here. It's I had the instructions at one point pulled up, but the instructions are just a little weird. Like, you got to push pressure on this foot to do this thing and this foot to do this thing. And I don't know. Yeah, okay. The wearer controls it using pressure sensors that sit under the soles of their feet. If they press down with one foot, the thumb will make a grasping movement, with these instructions sent to the wrist unit via Bluetooth. So what are you thinking, Sean? You pre-ordering it?
No, like, this, first of all, it's just creepy and weird to have like an extra freaking finger on that side of your hand. Second of all, this sounds like a whole lot of effort to go through to have a stupid extra finger. Like you said, like, two different controls and two different feet. Like, so basically I can't use this thing while I'm walking.
I like the way The Verge ends this article. Just imagine it's the future sometime. You're doing business stuff and you reach out to shake somebody's hand. You grasp it firm and unwavering, slightly too firm, in fact. The other person looks down. You've got a dang extra thumb, tapping their hand in a confident but businesslike way. Guess who just won that big contract? That's right, you did. And you can thank your third thumb.
Yeah.
But hey, what's to stop you from getting a fourth thumb? Come on.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah, slippery slope. I'm all thumbs. I got a thumb on my forehead, two coming out of my neck.
Adam and Eve. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Thumbs.
I love it. Okay. And then another thing I know Sean's rushing out to buy right now. Earbuds that they go over your ears, you know, like they hook over the top of your ears. And the top section is an elf ear.
Oh, God.
A pointy elf ear. Now, if they made these and said they were Spock ears, tell me you wouldn't buy them.
I was just going to say, why aren't they Spock ears?
Yeah. So, yeah, your headphones stay on your head and give you elf ears at the same time. What?
See, now this is kind of funny. And like you said, if they turned them more upwards and called them Vulcan ears, I would be like, this is awesome.
Exactly. do you agree? This is weird, but this needs to be said. Do you agree that elf ears kind of like enhance the beauty of some women? right?
Elf ears?
Yeah, right? Come on.
I don't know if I can
really
agree
with that.
Maybe
it's a video
statement.
Game thing. Maybe I'm just a weird video gamer. I don't know. I've always thought about that.
So you're going to say, like, you take, like, a normal hot chick and give her elf ears, and now she's hotter?
A little bit hotter, yeah. I mean, not, like, over yourself hotter, but, like, you know, wow. But maybe it depends on the person, because, like, the first time I remember thinking that, I was watching, I think it might have been Attack of the Show. And you remember Morgan Webb?
The
girl from that show? Well,
I never watched it.
She's like a little bit of a taller girl, woman. And at one point, she was learning archery, and I think she might have been learning it with Olivia Munn. I'm not sure, but they put elf ears on while they were learning archery, and I just remember thinking to myself, "Wow, that adds something. That's weird." And I probably need to talk to someone, but that's.
It sounds like it does. It sounds like you've just divulged you know, a fish to everyone.
Divulge a fish?
A fetish.
Oh, a fetish. Oh, that's cool. Bring it on, elf ears. I'm okay with that.
That's what you're into, man.
Hey, you can't have hang-ups, Sean. You can't have hang-ups. I mean, you might be into chicks with three thumbs. I don't know. Maybe you've watched that thumb video like three times since I've been talking. And you're just like,
I have. I have. I wish you could find me somebody with a.
You had to mute it
finger.
Because you're just like. All right. All right. So that's all the news we got. Unfortunately, because I know you wanted so much more. We're going to be talking, let's see here.
Next, flicks.
What is today? Today is the 9th. Tomorrow, we'll release this on the 10th. We'll be talking about movie releases up until the 21st. Let's see here. Do I need that one? Yep. All right. That's two very limited releases. We're not doing that one. Okay, so the 14th is the first day we're actually going to be covering here. All right. War for the Planet of the Apes.
Nice.
Woody Harrelson, Andy Serkis, Chad Brooke, Judy Greer, Steve Zahn. Steve Zahn's in it? Wow, what? I didn't know that. Okay. In War for the Planet of the Apes, the third chapter of the critically acclaimed blockbuster franchise, Caesar and his apes are forced into a deadly conflict with an army of humans led by a ruthless colonel. After the apes suffer unimaginable losses, Caesar wrestles with his darker instincts and begins his own mythic quest to avenge his kind. As the journey finally brings them face to face, Caesar and the colonel are pitted against each other in an epic battle that will determine the fate of both their species and the future of the planet. Little wordy, but so is the title.
Yeah, no, I mean, I want to see it. So I've seen the trailer already. It looks awesome. I've liked all the newest Planet of the Apes movies, so I'm not going to go to the theaters, but totally going to check this out.
Okay. Let's see here. Going to do a limited one just because I think it sounds funny. Granny of the Dead.
Granny? Like G-R-A-N-N-Y.
Yes. William Hugh, Sabrina Dickens, Nia Ann. Regular guy Ed awakes one morning to find that his grandma has become one of the living dead. Trapped
Next.
In his home.
I don't even want to hear this. Next.
Oh. I even got my movie phone voice on for you. All right, let's see here. Okay, next one we got is the 21st. So this is, wow, not a lot of movies coming out. Damn it. Okay. Girls Trip. Regina Hall, Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith, Tiffany Haddish, Kate Walsh, Let's see. When four lifelong friends travel to New Orleans for the annual Essence Festival, sisterhoods are rekindled, wild sides are rediscovered, and there's enough dancing, drinking, brawling, and romancing to make the Big Easy blush. That's a good point.
Ugh. I mean, at least I'll give them credit that they wrote like a, you know, quick synopsis.
Yeah.
Other than that, it deserved to be next.
Yeah. Okay. This one looks interesting. Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
This does sound interesting.
Yeah. Dane DeHaan, Clive Owen, Herbie Hancock, Ethan Hawke, Rihanna. Let's see here. Oh, good Lord. Valerian and Loreline, I hope I said that right, are special operatives for the government of the human territories charged with maintaining order throughout the universe. Valerian has more in mind than a professional relationship with his partner, blatantly chasing after her with propositions of romance. But his extensive history
next,
with women...
Next.
Oh, God, it had another paragraph.
Yeah.
A whole nother paragraph. I mean, I know it seems like a complicated movie, maybe, but... Guys, Jesus, I was hoping you would do that because my God, I didn't want to read all that.
I was trying to give it a chance.
All right. Dunkirk, Tom Hardy, Harry Styles, Mark Rylance, I think is how you say that. Oh, here we go. Miraculous evacuation of Allied soldiers from Belgium, Britain, and France who were cut
Next.
Off. It's like a sentence. A sentence.
It's a period piece.
It is.
I don't want to watch. I'm not going to watch no like old world, you know, World War II movie, World War I movie, whatever the hell. I don't care. I'm not into historical dramas.
Wow. Lots of limited releases. There's one that's just called Who the Fuck Is That Guy? It's a documentary. Yeah, there's nothing else to... Damn it. All right, I'm just going to pick one. Just randomly, blah, 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 blah. Right there. Okay. Boom. That's the last one. First Kill. Hayden Christensen, Bruce Willis, Megan Leonard... Shea Buckner. In order to reconnect with his son, Danny, big shot Wall Street broker Will, played by Christensen, takes his family on a hunting trip to the cabin where he grew up. While out hunting with Danny, the trip takes a deadly turn when they stumble upon several robbers and witness the murder of one of the criminals. After becoming entangled in a bank heist gone bad that results in the kidnapping of Danny, Will is forced to help the kidnappers evade the police chief, Bruce Willis, and recover the stolen loot in exchange for his son's life.
Hmm.
Eh?
This, what's it called again?
First Kill.
First Kill.
Hmm. Yeah.
It sounds very similar to like an audiobook that I listened to one time. And I, for the life of me, I can't remember the name of it. Damn it. I don't remember the name of it. It had something. I think the character was like Jake McGee or Jake something or other. But it was like it was a series of books that were written about, you know, and it began like that. It was like a guy takes his family to, you know, a hunting cabin and they, you know, stumble across some criminals doing some bad shit and they get, you know, caught up in it and you know, it kind of had like a Taken vibe to it, you know, right. Where they take like his daughter captive and then he has to go get her back and, you know, stuff like that. It reminds me of that book. I thought maybe they had maybe turned it into a, you know, an independent film or something, but yeah. That's not, that definitely, the title definitely isn't it. So.
Gotcha. There's one more I want to do. And just because I was pre-reading and I pre-read this one and I want to see how far I can get. The Gracefield Incident. Nobody you know is in this movie.
Okay.
I'm not even going to try. Matt, a video game developer, embeds an iPhone camera into his prosthetic eye to secretly record and document a weekend with his friends in the luxurious mountaintop cabin.
The weekend takes a terrifying turn when a meteorite crashes, forcing everyone to face the darkest, screaming nightmare while somehow connecting life, love, and lost in a twist of fear.
What?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, next.
It's like this is the end without comedy. All right, so that's what we got. Sean, what the hell are you up to?
Well, I don't know how much we can talk about this because I'm going to assume, I think we already determined that you're not caught up on Doctor Who.
I am not caught up with Doctor Who. A couple episodes behind, I guess.
The finale was last weekend. And I, you know, so yes, that we can't talk about because you're terrible at.
I'm sorry. Where am I? Hold on. Let me see where I'm at on Doctor Who real quick. Blah, 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 blah. Right there. Let's see. Season 10. Holy crap. I'm farther behind than I thought.
That's ridiculous.
I got like, three episodes left. I've got The Eaters of Light, World Enough in Time, and The Doctor Falls.
So, like, I can understand it when you're like, oh, I'm a season behind on The Flash. Okay, whatever, man. But, like, you know, when it comes to something like Doctor Who, I expect you to watch it the week it airs.
Yeah.
You know, Game of Thrones, Doctor Who, The Walking Dead, you know, like, those things need to be consumed when they are provided.
I'm sorry, Sean.
You need to do a better job.
I know.
So regardless, it was a great finale. I enjoyed it a lot. The very, very end makes me, you know, I can't wait for the Christmas episode to see, you know, number one, who the Doctor is going to regenerate into, of course. And number two, to see this whole storyline play out, because they brought in, and we talked about this earlier this year when they announced they were going to do it, but the season finale ended with William Hartnell, you know, the very first Doctor, meeting his counterpart. So, well, and it's obviously not William Hartnell, because William Hartnell is deceased. It's the actor who played that role in the Doctor Who Out of Time, I believe is what it was called, something like that. But yeah. The Doctor Who miniseries, I think it was, or movie that told the story of the making of the show, the nonfiction, I guess, story, you know, of like the actors taking on the roles and things like that. And what led William Hartnell to have to give it up after only one or two seasons. So they had that actor come in and portray the role of the first Doctor, and it's really cool. So I'm looking forward to that in the Christmas episode. Other than that, we binge watched the entire series Glow on Netflix. Have you seen this? Do you know anything about this?
I know what it is. I have not watched it.
It is awesome. You absolutely should watch this show. It's fantastic. If you've ever been a fan of wrestling, you know, ever during your life, you should watch this show, not only because it's a wrestling show, but it's just it's really well done. It's hilarious. It's fun. I mean, it's so smart. It just tells such a cool story, you know, of this all women's wrestling league in the 1980s, something that I grew up with, at least. You know, I believe Glow aired from 86 to 90. On television, and it was the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, and it was an all-female professional wrestling league, and Allison Brie is one of the stars, you know, in the show. She's from Community and Mad Men, and I can't for the life of me remember the name of the main blonde actress on the show, but Marc Maron is also in it, and what oddly enough, I find Marc Maron's podcast and all of his comedy and everything to be really good. But I've never been a fan of like the TV shows that I've seen him on Comedy Central or whatever they've aired on. I think there's one show was called Maron, and there was at least one other one. I think I've seen him in two different, like, you know, odd Louis style, Louis C.K., you know, Louis style TV shows. And And I didn't care for either of them, but his comedy and his podcast and everything are really awesome. But he's in this show and is fantastic. He plays the director of the whole wrestling event, the wrestling show, and he's fantastic. So if you get a chance, it's definitely a binge-worthy show on Netflix. You know, it'll take you 2 days to get through, you know, 12, 30-minute episodes or whatever. So take some time, sit down, check it out, and if it helps you, like, do you know who Alison Brie is? You know, did you watch Community?
I did not watch Community, but I know Jesus who Christ. Alison Brie is.
You're terrible. You're just awful.
I don't pick up new shows very often, man. Really don't.
Community is not a new show. Community was on, like, you know, years ago, and was one of the smartest. Just, you know, it was like Rick and Morty. It was done by the guy who does Rick and Morty. Like, ugh, you disgust me. What are you up to, Jesse?
Well, try to catch up on Doctor Who.
No, you're not. Don't lie.
I'm trying. I was up till 3 a.m. this morning trying to pick up on Doctor Who. We were supposed to start. We decided on 9-ish. For recording, which usually means I wake up around 7:30, 7 o'clock, to start pulling stories, and I woke up at 8:55. So, let's see here. So, I just read a new book called "Dead Men Can't Complain," and I don't know why I put a T on the end of it for complaint in the show notes, but that's not the way it is. So, it's "Dead Men Can't Complain," and bringing up some information here. It's a compilation of short stories by Peter Kleins. Peter Kleins is one of those authors that he has kind of a grouping of books, I guess is what you'd call it. He's famous for the X-Heroes series. I have them. I haven't read any of them yet, though. What I like is his book 14 and The Fold. This kind of has a feeling of those two things.
I've read them all. I've listened to all of them.
It's a collection of short stories. It's if you like The Fold and 14, these short stories are unbelievable.
The X-Heroes series is really good too.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'll have to give it a try.
It's like superheroes and zombies.
Okay. I'll have to try that because I've got a couple of them, but I haven't ever actually sat down to be able to read them.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Okay. But yeah, so I'm reading Dead Men Can't Complain and other stories. I listened to. It's not that long. I think it was like 5 or 6 hours, but it's well worth a credit if you have one. If you like Peter Kleins, it's good stuff. I also watched 2 days ago, I guess, the movie Her, finally. I've had it, and I've really wanted to watch it, but I just couldn't get the time to sit down and watch it. And when I watch a movie, I like to give it my complete attention. So with a three-year-old and a wife that likes to go, go, go all the time, that's really hard for me to do. And I got a chance late one evening. Everyone wound down early. I sat down and watched Her. Do you know what this movie's about? Sean?
Isn't this the movie where the dude like falls in love with his operating system or something?
Yes, it's exactly that. Let me bring it up here.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's not weird. Not if you actually watch it. So it's Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson. Amy Adams is in there. She plays one of his friends. But it's a very interesting concept to me. Like a crazy interesting concept. Basically, this man is he's I don't know. I don't want to call him like troubled in any way, because really, truly, I mean, he's not strange in any way, really. And this is near future. He has a wife that's left him. He's very lonely. And he works for a company called Beautiful Handwritten Letters.com. Where basically you tell someone you want someone a love letter written to your wife or your girlfriend or whoever, and they write this letter for you.
You don't have to do anything. They come up with the wording. They have background and pictures of you and your significant other or your daughter or your grandson or your grandma or whoever you're writing the letter to. And they actually write it. So he's a very emotionally attached person, but he's super lonely. And a new operating system comes out that's supposed to help you with your everyday life. OS 1, I think, is what they call it. And it's an artificial intelligence. It's voiced by Scarlett Johansson, which, by the way, after watching this movie, I want Scarlett Johansson to voice every AI thing I ever have for the rest of my days. Not being weird, but I could listen to her forever. She has an awesome voice.
No, you're being weird.
It's not weird. Anyway, but he ends up, you know, it's an AI, so it's an artificial intelligence. And because of that, she learns and she evolves, and it's exactly what he needs. He ends up, you know, falling in love with her, and she falls in love with him. And then it's the question of how does a machine know what love is? And yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's just a very, very emotional roller coaster movie. At the end of it, you're just kind of flabbergasted. And I was actually like at the end of it, I was actually tired. Like I'd been through so many emotions during the movie. I was tired at the end of it, but it was a really, really great story. Really great movie. So if you like AI type stuff or just emotional roller coasters, if you're that kind of, masochist like me, it's a good movie to watch. That's why I haven't had time to finish Doctor Who, Sean. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, sounds like a really valid reason.
It's a super valid reason, Sean. Super valid reason. All right. Sean, I probably should have warned you before I did this. The episode of Rick and Morty where they have all the imaginary characters.
Sure.
What's your favorite?
Well, Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Oh, come on. That's too easy.
Well, fine then. Pencilvester.
Pencilvester? That's what you got? That's what you got? Okay. Mr. Beauregard.
Which one was Mr. Beauregard?
That was the butler that takes Morty to the prom.
Okay.
All right. That's it. We're out. Done. Through. Finished. Complete. Pickle Rick!